is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The European Union, NATO, Ukraine, all watching the United States and the tariff disputes of these last days. Why? I read from a column in the New York, in the Financial Times, appearing recently by an author who is co-CEO of the Brussels-based Itinera Institute, author of Superpower Europe. However, the author, Mr. DeVos, finds lots to complain about in these last days. But to placate Donald Trump's instincts, he writes, Europe has had to bow down and pay up no fewer than three times. First for NATO, pledging hundreds of billions of dollars to additional defense. Then for Ukraine, committing to paying the U.S. for weapons Ukraine needs. And finally, this week, allowing the U.S. to unilaterally multiply tariffs, even as Europe promises more than $1.3 trillion in purchases of American energy. Anatole Levin, the Eurasia Project Director for the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, is in his native Britain, traveling in Europe these last days after traveling in the Black Sea Basin. And I come to him on these three blows, according to Mr. DeVos, and according to the front page of the Financial Times, and whether this is a matter that will be fleeting, as many of Mr. Trump's remarks are, or whether Europe is now taking its second-class citizenship to heart. Anatole, a very good evening to you. I note that all three of these matters touch on Ukraine, which is the bleeding wound in Europe. Is this a surprise to you that the Financial Times has turned so dire, or is this something that's in the wind all for quite some time in Europe? Good evening to you.
Hello, John. Well, it didn't come as a complete surprise because I've been talking to people in France and Germany and reading what the media there have been saying. And there is, you know, very great disappointment and disquiet with this surrender on the part of the European Union, because the costs involved will be immense in terms of buying much more expensive U.S. energy, but also the whole, you know, rearmament to defend Europe and to support Ukraine has been sold to European populations and parliaments also as a way of rebuilding European industry. Well, now it seems that actually a huge part of this additional money will go to buying American weapons, and not just for Ukraine, but for Europe as well. This isn't going to do anything to boost European industry. So there is a very widespread feeling, I think, you know, both of humiliation and a feeling that European interests have taken a very severe blow.
Starting with the first detail about NATO pledging money, that was seen as a big positive at the time. This is the meeting at The Hague. 3.5% for weapons, as you just identified, and 1.5% for infrastructure. I mentioned the FT ran a piece earlier from the point of view of the transportation chief of the EU. This is the European Commission, saying that Europe needed to rebuild its bridges and tunnels and roads. Why? Because they were built in a time when there were 40-ton trucks and nothing heavier moving across the map of Europe. Now there's 70-ton tanks and armor columns that would need to roll in the event of conflict. This sounds like an expensive detail to rebuild the bridges. Is that a positive? I'm looking for positives anywhere, Anatole.
Well, I mean, there was a very widespread feeling that, you know, a lot of this money, which had been, you know, promised for rearmament, was in fact going to go, yes, for rebuilding infrastructure. And the excuse was going to be, you know, the need for tanks. But actually, it would be because, you know, so much of infrastructure in Germany, railways, is decrepit and needs restoring. But there was a general feeling when the European NATO members committed themselves to this, that that was the end of it, that this was the price you had to pay for Trump reducing his pressure over tariffs and also committing the U.S. to continue support for Ukraine. Well, it turns out that actually this was the only first installment of the payments that Europe was expected to make. And there is more and more talk in Europe of American security essentially becoming a protection racket. So, no, I mean, it's doing huge damage to transatlantic relations. But it also does illustrate the fact that, you know, if the European Union is really afraid of Russia and is determined to keep on supporting Ukraine, well, that, you know, is terrifying people into continued dependence on the US because they simply do not trust themselves to be able to defend themselves and support Ukraine without the US.
Ukraine obliged, according to Mr. DeVos, to buy weapons that it needs from the US. This does seem cynical at this point. Is that a fair summary of the European position of the U.S. in Ukraine? What's in it for us is the question being asked. Is that how it's understood?
Well, yes, very much so. Really, the idea in the past was that the U.S. would support Ukraine. Now it seems that Ukraine, or Europe rather, Europe, not Ukraine, has to pay the U.S. for this support. I mean, I think that sooner or later, what this will lead to is increasing pressure in Europe for a peace settlement in Ukraine. Because, you know, apart from anything else, there was an announcement yesterday by the German finance minister that if Germany was going to pay for rearmament and supporting Ukraine, without greatly increasing or further increasing its debt, there are going to have to be major cuts to social welfare in Germany. Well, if the Social Democrats in the German coalition go into the next elections on that platform, there is a very widespread feeling that they will be crushed. I mean, their vote has already gone down hugely, but that is essentially, like, you know, other centrist Social Democratic parties in Europe over the past 10 years, that they will essentially disappear and be replaced by much more radically left-wing parties and by populists. So there are, you know, huge battles building up in Europe over budgets and social welfare, you know, in Britain too. Not, of course, a member of the European Union, but a member of NATO. There have been two parliamentary revolts against the Labour government over plans to cut social welfare.
I'm glad you come to the politics of this, because I need an interpretation. I could guess, but I'm not European. My interpretation about the third thing, the third humiliation, according to Mr. DeVos and the FT, putting him on the front page, the EU deal, 15%, by Ms. van der Leyen and the European Commission. Not only is that seen as a concession, however, what does it mean for the populist parties, Alternative for Deutschland in Germany, or the National Rally in France, or Giorgia Meloni's populist party? Are they strengthened by the apparent concessions by the European Commission?
Well, I would say so, definitely, because all of these parties are really emphasizing the need to rebuild domestic economies and domestic industry. And as I say, you're not going to do that by buying U.S. weapons and U.S. energy. But also, of course, you know, these parties derive the greater part of their support now from the old, you know, white working classes and lower middle classes. And they are going to be heavily hit by cuts to social welfare. So it's very difficult to see how this does not increase the populist vote when the next elections come round.
And the EU itself, the European Commission, I've had a chance only to speak with a young woman, a citizen in Budapest, about how Hungary has responded to the EU deal. not positively, although with Mr. Orban, you can never be sure what he says in public is what he says in private. But in any event, there are voices like Spain's and others who are disagree with the European Union Commission. Is it your understanding that the handshake applies for all, or will there be separate pieces made between certain states in the EU and the US?
I think there will definitely be attempts at separate deals, and there will simply be national refusals to participate, either open refusals or, you know, in effect, covert evasions, because, you know, of the national interests involved. And also, of course, there is a growing feeling in much of Europe that, after all, you know, the people doing this deal, von der Leyen, the Commission, Kaja Kallas, the kind of quasi-foreign minister, nobody has elected them. Yes, I mean, they've been chosen as a result of negotiations and consensus among a majority of European governments, but not one European citizen has voted for these people directly. Now, that didn't matter as long as EU powers were limited and economic growth was strong. But as soon as you get the perception that people's social welfare benefits, their pensions, their health services are being cut, essentially on the orders of Brussels, unelected EU officials, I mean, this can only strengthen hostility to the EU across large parts of Europe.
I'm speaking with Anatole Levin, my good colleague. He's a Eurasia Project Director at the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. We've been spending time in Europe. We're coming home to Britain when we come back, because the Prime Minister, Mr. Starmer, has spent time with Mr. Trump these last days. But most importantly, the Prime Minister has spent time with his own backbench, and there's disorder in the overwhelming majority held by the Labour Party for the next several years. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At washablesofas.com, you'll find the Anabe sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.